You're listening to Central Time. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, President Trump signed an executive order recently reinstating the Mexico City rule, which prevents international health organizations receiving U.S. aid from talking about abortion with their patients. We'll learn more in a bit about what this could mean.
First, we're looking at the heyday of department stores and the role they've played in women's lives. In the 1800s, middle-class women found shopping at department stores a kind of liberation, free from the constraints of their home and away from men. Washington Post reporter Jeff Goh joins us to discuss the feminist history of the department store and where we find it today. His recent article is titled "The Secret Feminist History of Shopping." Jeff, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, take us back to middle-class Victorian England, where shopping was a housewife's first real taste of freedom. What did the department store have to do with this?
So this is a part of history that I don't think many Americans realize, which is that shopping was an important feminist activity back in the day. And so in the 1800s in England, which is where a lot of these shopping arcades started to pop up, there was a culture of separation of the sexes, and the women were expected to stay at home, and if they ventured outside, it was mostly just to gather ingredients for dinner or to buy things for the house. And so what changed is that in the middle of the 1800s, there was a lot of manufacturing that happened, and this democratized a lot of household goods, like furniture, became really affordable for a lot of households. And so women, the task fell to women to buy all of these things. And to accommodate them, a lot of stores started popping up in urban cities. And what happened was women all of a sudden were starting to go into cities to go on shopping trips. They were hanging out with their girlfriends. And to accommodate them, you know, stores started serving tea. They started popping up little tea shops where women could take a break during their shopping trips during the day. And this really opened up the city, which used to be a male-dominated space, to Victorian women.
And you said in your article that women had some privacy in department stores, that they had a sort of shell around them. Do we, and whether they spent money or not was beside the point, do we shop in department stores in the same way today with the same type of philosophy?
I think that's something that we have lost. And one of the reasons that department stores even were created in the first place is that shop owners wanted to create a space where women could feel comfortable. And at that time, it was still very strange for a woman to be wandering the streets alone. So they wanted to create kind of a partially enclosed space where women could shop, they could get some food, they could hang out without feeling like they were totally exposed. And so that was the thinking behind the department store. But quickly, it turned into, I think it was an empowering space for a lot of women, because they could use shopping as an excuse to socialize in public. They could wander a little. They had a little more agency. And that's something I think that we may have lost in our shopping culture, because, well, I think of that as a good thing, because nowadays I think most people think of shopping as a chore. I think a lot of shopping has moved online. And that's good, because now we have, a society where, we don't have to shop in order to, socialize. We have other ways of doing it.
What could department stores do to bring back browsing, a place where women would want to flock to and spend time in?
I think that there's still a tradition around the holiday season where stores try to entice consumers with, Santas, with elves, with various displays, and so you still do see some of that. And that is one strategy that stores have increasingly relied on in recent years as more and more shopping moves online. But on the other hand, I would question whether you know, it's that important to make shopping the central feature of our social lives. And I wonder if, you know, maybe it's a good thing that instead of hanging out in malls, you know, we're sharing selfies or, I don't know, watching Netflix together.
And women lead hectic lives. It's been documented that they work these long days outside the home and they juggle more than their fair share of housework. Is going shopping just to browse even considered a pleasurable activity today?
I think that's a very tricky question, because if you enjoy shopping, by all means, men and women, you should just go and shop and enjoy yourself. But what's funny is that in Victorian England, there was an expectation that this was part of a woman's duty. And so what was so interesting about shopping is how many women turned that into something else. They subverted that expectation, and they made it into, instead of a household chore, they turned it into something of a private pleasure. And what was really interesting as I was doing reading for this piece is I learned about the connection between shopping and the roots of early feminism in the UK. And the way that worked is that, you know, women started to realize that they wielded a lot of economic power because they were the main tastemakers for their households. They could decide where to shop and where not to shop, where to spend their money and where not to spend their money. And so this became a feature of many protests early on in the course of, you know, first wave feminism, where women, you know, they would boycott stores that they felt didn't support women's rights. They would also smash windows and, you know, stage violent protests in order to promote their cause. And that's something that would only be possible because stores had helped usher women into the center of civic urban life.
Yeah, the same place that gave them some independence was the grounds for protest.
Exactly.
We're talking with Jeff Goh, who's a reporter with the Washington Post who covers mostly economic issues, about the secret feminist history of shopping, a recent article. And Jeff, the Industrial Revolution, you mentioned textile industry humming in the 1800s, churning out tons of stuff. So fast forward to today, do you see a game changer like the Industrial Revolution that would alter the relationship between women and department stores?
I think we have to question, first of all, why shopping is still, in a lot of circles, thought of as a women's activity, because it shouldn't be. There's nothing inherent about shopping that makes it a woman's duty, and there's nothing inherent about shopping that makes it, you know, that makes it more pleasurable for women than for men. If anything, the reason why we still think of shopping as something that is largely a women's activity is because department stores were designed to cater to women, 100 years ago, and so they've continued that tradition. And so it's kind of been a self-fulfilling prophecy, because these stores recognize that, you know, women are their main customers, and so they adapt themselves to fit what they think of as female tastes. And that's why, you know, the culture, it's still, you know, thought of as strange for men to shop, and why it's thought of as strange for men to enjoy shopping. And so that's all of a cultural thing.
Is there anything that department stores today, as they see their demise in so many places, is there anything that they could learn from Victorian England, from their past, and apply it today that might help win back customers?
I think that the appeal of shopping and the pleasures of shopping have not diminished. And I think the problem is that now that we can shop and peruse on Amazon from the comforts of our own home, where we also have, you know, cookies that we can eat, and where we don't have to spend all day on our feet carrying around shopping bags, that's the main challenge that stores face now. And the only way to compete with that is to create a retail experience that is that is fresh, that is novel, can get people off the couch, and whether that is in some places, you know, free samples, whether that is, you know, really beautiful window displays, which, you know, some stores still do and some very successfully, and whether that is, you know, a closer partnership between, you know, brick and mortar stores and their online counterparts, in order to allow people to, you know, try out things in a real store, mm-hmm. but then also have the convenience of having it delivered to their house.
Take us to the suburban shopping mall of the 1980s and 90s, where teenage boys and girls roamed freely, like the movie Mallrats. Does that have an association to what was happening in the early days of shopping malls?
I think that you see a parallel in that this commercial space also became a social space, and it became a place where people could exercise in a contained environment some freedoms that they wouldn't be able to experience elsewhere. And so I do see a parallel between, you know, teens spending an afternoon in a shopping mall and some of these early Victorian women who might hang out. And by the way, back then, it was very strange for a woman to be alone. She usually had to be accompanied by a male chaperone. But shopping, the shopping culture changed, and so it became acceptable for women just to hang out, you know, a pack of girls or a pack of women going to you know, going downtown to buy some clothes or to buy some furniture. That became socially acceptable.
Before I let you go, if department stores and shopping malls are dying this slow death, as we read about, will we grieve when they are gone for their social aspect that they brought and their history of what they did for feminism?
I think so, and I think that anything that that gets you out of the house these days can be thought of as a positive thing, and even just the act of, you know, of walking around, of meeting your neighbors and meeting the people in your community, that has been a function of bazaars and marketplaces for centuries, and that's something that we're losing now that we, you know, so many of us just click some buttons on Amazon and something arrives at our door.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Washington Post reporter Jeff Goh. We've been talking about how department stores helped women be liberated in the 1800s and what that relationship is like with the female shopper of today. His recent article is The Secret Feminist History of Shopping.
Coming up, we'll learn more about the Mexico City rule, public health, and abortion under the Trump administration. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.